Currently, there are 5.5 million people in the United States with Alzheimer's disease or another form of dementia. 200,000 of those are people with early onset familial dementia. The rest are just folks, people like you or I. It's estimated that there will be 16 million people with dementia by the year 2050. Dementia is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. In Washington state, 100,000 people have dementia, expected to rise to 140,000 by 2025. Three-quarters of people know or knew someone with dementia. 40% have or had a family member with the disease. How many of you know or knew someone with dementia? And for how many of you is that a family member? It's a lot of it. It's not just the person with the diagnosis that has to live with the disease. Their loved ones have to as well. There are currently 330,000 care partners in Washington state, contributing 375 million hours of unpaid care, valued at $4.6 billion. Unfortunately, it is well known that the health of care partners tends to suffer, and those changes in health care costs add up to an increase of $210 million. Alzheimer's disease is the most commonly known form of dementia, but there are other kinds that appear similar but have a different cause and may have additional symptoms: vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, frontotemporal lobe dementia, dementia associated with Parkinson's and Lou Gehrig's disease, and several other rare kinds. Whatever the cause of the dementia, its common symptoms are a change in memory, specifically with loss in short-term memory, a change in language, the loss of the ability to find words, to carry on a conversation that makes sense, and the ability to read and write, and changes in what is known as executive functioning, the ability to make appropriate decisions about everyday activities such as cooking, eating, bathing, dressing, handling financial matters, toileting, driving a car, and shopping. Researchers still do not understand everything about dementia, and there is no treatment. There are a few medications that may slow these symptoms for up to a year in some people. In others, they do nothing or cause serious side effects. However, even with all the losses, many skills remain, and some may be heightened. People usually retain or even gain the ability to sing and play a musical instrument, do art, play certain games, enjoy nature, and do sports. We know someone with dementia who has lost language, but whose math skills are still intact. Another person who is also almost blind, who took up crocheting after their diagnosis and now creates beautiful, complicated works of art. And still someone else who remains an avid skier, working with people with disabilities through an adaptive sports program. Life does not end with a dementia diagnosis. But first, the testing required to find out.
Okay. In the summer of 2016, Jane and I signed up with the Memory Clinic, operated by the University of Vermont Medical Center. From their website, memory loss can be a serious medical condition or simply a recurring forgetfulness that affects many of us. To help patients understand their memory condition, the memory program provides evaluation, diagnosis, and treatment of age-related memory disorders. That sounds all right. I mean, they've got some ways of reassuring people about their memory loss. If my family wants me to get checked out, what harm could it do? Maybe once they hear a neurologist say I've got simple recurring forgetfulness, they'll cut me a little more slack. And in truth, my memory is not that hot these days. But whose isn't at 66? You know, walk into a room, then stand there like a post, wondering exactly why I wanted to go in there. Anybody?
Yeah.
Right. So, Jane and I headed into the memory center. We make our way. Jane and I are separated. We're each interviewed by a psychologist, and we're both asked about my skills of daily living. How am I doing at dressing myself, eating, getting myself to the toilet? Been in any car crashes lately? If this is how they decide if I have a serious medical condition, I'm probably in the clear. Then there's the hour-long neurological exam to test my cognitive and memory abilities. Okay, this is when I can shine. I was always a good tester in school, and by now I'm feeling pretty confident about this one, clearly a major part of their assessment. This test is when they sort me. Face it, Ben Sky. Sure enough, it's easy at the start. What am I holding? That's a pen. What's the weather today? What season is this? Really? This stuff is what they post on the walls for the droolers in the nursing homes or the little kids in preschool. How about, what am I doing here? How about something at least a little challenging? Copy this drawing. Easy. And this one. Easy. And this one. Still easy, but getting harder. And this one. Possible, but ow. My brain is cramping now. And this one. Oh. Completely impossible 3D drawing. All this detail. It takes me 3 tries to get even close. After a few more hard ones, now draw a clock that shows 10 after 10. Ha, I'm ready for this one. I've learned that people with Alzheimer's can't draw clocks for anything, and I practice at home. Over and over, I drew clocks at home, really nice ones, and no sweat. So how about some extra credit for confidence and speed here? Do I really need to be here? My tester wants to know what this phrase means. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I'm sorely tempted to tell her one of my favorite jokes. The one about the Jungle King that ends tragically. People in glass houses shouldn't stow thrones. But something tells me this is not a great time to be a wise ass. After all, she's trying to evaluate my brain here. I don't want her taking points off for a bad attitude. Soon the test is almost over. My tester tells me a long, involved story with numerous characters having numerous adventures that gets longer and more involved. Of course, I'm expected to repeat it all back. Then a long list of numbers to memorize. More and more until I'm falling on my face in frustration. For a break, I get to count backwards from 100 by sevens. Next, I'm instructed to fold a piece of paper lengthwise, set it on the floor, then pick it up and place it on the desk. And for a grand finale, she wants me to tell her the convoluted story of 15 minutes ago with as much detail as you can. Ouch.
Life changes. Relationships change. Grandma or grandpa can no longer babysit, but they can still tell stories teach a grandchild to fish or to garden. Mom or dad become childlike, and the child has to become the parent, no role they ever wanted or expected. Spouses have to renegotiate their relationship. Perhaps the one who has handled the finances or done the shopping can't do it anymore, and their partner has to learn how. Libido changes, and they have to create a new sexual relationship. The spouse without dementia may take on a more parental role, checking that their partner is dressed, bathed, fed, and safe. Spouse or adult child, one day they will realize it's no longer safe for their loved one to drive, and they'll have to figure out how to negotiate that tricky terrain. But creativity reigns. Okay, I can't do X anymore. What else could I do? I can't read, but I can still comprehend books on tape. What things will help me negotiate the now confusing world a little bit easier? I can rely on my smartphone or a paper calendar or a little notebook that I can carry around and write things down before I forget them. It's not safe for me to drive anymore, but I can still walk or get around by bike. I can't play bridge anymore, but I'm still a whiz at rummy. There's no reason to sit home and watch TV all day. There are events to attend, volunteer work to do, basic household activities like vacuuming, laundry, shopping, snow shoveling, lawn mowing, and gardening to be done. Though you have to be ready for the unexpected.
At the store. Alzheimer's, you are so slow. I can run circles around you if I want to. To prove it, I just drew a clock. It took me 19 seconds, and it wasn't a bit difficult. Unlike at the store today, $6.41, please. First, I hand over a five and a one. I brought some change from home, so I dump a few coins on the counter, quarters, nickels, dimes, a couple of pennies. Uh-oh, now what? My mind gets seriously busy, jangling. Way too many possibilities, most of them skyrocketing over 41 cents. Others, not enough. The store clerk is patient, watching me pushing the coins around and around and around. I really can't do it. Find 41 cents. At the store number two. The Vermont State Liquor Store in Burlington is a busy place this Friday afternoon in May. The colleges are winding down, the students are winding up, and the downtown liquor store is shaking. 20-somethings dominate the store, both behind the counter and in the long, polite lines of customers waiting to check out. The store is well prepared for the annual onslaught. There's this one old guy, two or three times the age of everyone else. He's kind of disheveled, wearing work clothes. Despite his small purchase, he manages to hold up the line, emptying one of his pockets onto the counter. Why? Now the old guy is randomly sliding his pocket full of change across the counter at the clerk and muttering something. Homeless, maybe? Drunk? Probably. Or he could have escaped from his nursing home. Nope. None of the above. Just me. In another cameo appearance as the demented one.
As the old saying goes, once you've seen one person with dementia, you've seen one person with dementia. We are all fully human and fully individual. We have different likes and dislikes, different dreams, different priorities, different family makeups, different activities we enjoy, different skills. Our wide diversity makes the world a more interesting and lively place. This includes people with dementia or any other disability. They are still individuals at whatever stage they are in their disease. Sky here may seem normal to you, able to speak in front of a group, to read and write with clarity, but you've heard about some of his challenges, and I can tell you more. In conversation, he may lose his train of thought. He often forgets whether or not he's eaten a meal. He has to check the calendar repeatedly throughout the day to remember what we are doing and what day it is. He often asks the same question over and over and over. In the meantime, he is still active, reading voraciously while he can, gardening, playing the piano, volunteering at our community bike shop and community sailing center and community theater. He plays disc golf, rides his bike, skis. He's close to his adult children, his friends, and his sister. And me? I'm still trying to cultivate patience. I have learned to answer Skye's questions without saying, but I already told you that. I have learned to give Skye time and space or hold his hand when he gets anxious. I've learned that I need time to myself, which I get with long walks, lunches with friends, quiet time early in the morning when I'm the first one up, and time in my garden. I have given myself the space to grieve my losses, Sky's losses, and our kids' losses. And by reaching out to others through our blog and through public speaking, we are hoping to erase the stigma and misconceptions about dementia, to help people understand that it's just a disability that needs to be accommodated as we so carefully accommodate other disabilities. And the people with dementia have as much inherent worth and dignity as anyone else. As Richard Taylor, author of Alzheimer's from the Inside Out, says, those of us with Alzheimer's disease can never be who we were, and too many people still want us to be. But we are who we are. We need others to become more informed, more understanding, and make more of an effort to understand us.
My life now. Sometimes it is bad. Paranoia, hallucinations, nightmares, and over-the-top anxiety can be regular co-travelers. How can I be silent and ripping apart at the same second? How can I worry so hard and still keep up the strength to keep my train on the rails? I can tell you 100 ways all of this will go down in an instant. One gory step to the next and the next and the next. All twisted and wrong. Is there such a thing as peace out there somewhere? Yes. Intermixed with the bad times are the peaceful times. My life is all over the place these days. But I'm pleasantly surprised to see how writing and reflecting on my experience helps me to feel more confident and less overwhelmed. Like for the millions of travelers who find themselves on the detour to Alzheimer's Canyon, equipped with a map of blank pages, a little guidance goes a long way. So one reason to write is self-serving. It helps me understand and learn from the often confusing new life I've got going on. And if other people on the dementia detour or with friends and loved ones on the detour feel some comfort or support from these words, all the better. We demented ones and our care partners need to be recognized, respected, and above all, listened to as we stumble along this journey. This journey we never asked to take. I'm living with the assumption that understanding and compassion are essential to the survival of this one world we all share. My plan is to go on chronicling my experiences just as long as I remain able to do so.
A dementia diagnosis, like any other life-limiting diagnosis, is an opportunity to embrace change, to try something new, and to learn new skills and adaptations. It's an opportunity to talk about end-of-life decisions with your loved ones, conversations every family should have. It's an opportunity to heal relationships, to talk about how to handle care needs in the future, to explore the things that make life worth living. It's an opportunity to make a difference for others. And this is for certain. A person with dementia may lose their cognitive life, but they will never lose their emotional life. Love them and they will feel your love, even if they don't know who you are. Life is precious. None of us can sit here today knowing when or how we will die. That is one of life's mysteries, and one that makes our days that much more precious. Live your life well. Face your challenges. Be there for your loved ones, and be sure to give thanks. Amen.